So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23 this morning. We had a look last week at awake, did we not? Brilliant. It's almost as though we planned that. Is anybody awake? That's the question. Give me a hello. Should you be awake? Oh, hi. Hi. Say hi to the person to the left or your right. Depends which your favourable person is. And say, let them know that you're awake, would you? Good. So we looked at the first half of Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul was, if you remember, motivating his readers to be alert, to be awake to what God has done for each and every one of us. And we saw how we, his children, have been blessed beyond measure. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of all that he has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love for us, that perfect love which was displayed in Christ on the cross as he bore upon himself our sin and our shame, and he defeated sin and death there for us so that we might be able to come into a relationship with a holy and perfect God. It's a gift beyond measure that we have received through God and grace and his love. He freely gave, even though we did not deserve it. Now, Paul has just refreshed the reader, as we saw in the first verses, but he goes a little bit further in verse 15 through 23 to show them how he's heard about their faith, and he has not stopped praying for them, that they might indeed stay awake. Last week, my title was Awake. This week my title is Stay Awake. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? I cut the grass yesterday, mid to late morning it was, and I finished late afternoon. And I accidentally shut my eyes for a moment after we'd had our tea. And Lol woke me up at 10 p.m. with the statement, could you not have stayed awake? Well, I tried. Clearly not very hard. But yeah, so anyway, on the point of staying awake, this is what Paul is now going to say to his readers. Firstly, be awake, and secondly, to stay awake. He lets them know that he hasn't stopped praying for them, and he wants them to be awake to the reality that God has placed in them and on them. And these 8 verses that we get here at the last piece of Ephesians chapter 1, in the Greek, they are one sentence. So you'd take a deep breath at the beginning and you would black out at the end. Lack of oxygen. It's one sentence. And we've got it broken up for us in verses. And you'll see as we go through it, actually the numbers and what's happening don't really correlate at all. They're just there so that we can take breath and break it down so that we can study it and understand what's going on. They flow really well, nevertheless. If we remove the verses, we've got the full stops and the capital letters. But what we have to try and do is piece it all together, okay? If you don't know that they're all one, as supposed to be written as one sentence, the last part of what we're going to read almost seems like a side note, but it isn't. It's all the same flow as Paul pens this letter to the church at Ephesus. So, it says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask as we've read your word now, Father, that you will bless it to us. Father, that we might just open up our hearts and our ears, Father, that your Holy Spirit might move. Father, that we'd be ready to hear what you've got to say to us. Father, that we would have fertile ground, that, Father, the seed that is planted might grow and might flourish. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless this time to us now. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So after Paul's opening lines that we saw last week, encouraging them, as I've said, to be awake, he now tells them how reports are returning to him. Good reports. They're encouraging reports about this flourishing church. It's always nice to have a good report, isn't it? I wouldn't know, I'm asking. I went through my entire school life not receiving one, and I don't know why. Apparently I talk too much. Apparently. I can neither confirm nor deny. You can draw your own conclusions. But verse 15 and 16, he says to them that I've heard about your faith in Jesus and your love for all God's people. What a fantastic report to receive. Paul's doing what he's been called to do about his work for the Lord, and he's a missionary all over the then known world, essentially. And Paul's hearing reports back about this church that are clearly flourishing. They're clearly in tune with God. They're clearly living out the word. They're living out the gospel. He said, I've heard about your faith in Jesus and your love for all God's people. I've heard about these things. And what he goes on to say shows us something that's so important for us as the church. He says then, and I haven't stopped giving thanks for you. I haven't stopped praying for you. Often when we think that people are doing well and everything's going to plan, we I don't say that we purposefully do this, but we don't pray about them because everything's all right. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to continually pray for each other, even when we look like we're on the mountaintop. Not just praying for people when they're in the valley, but we pray for people all the time. Lord, that you would help them. Father, that you would continue to strengthen them, encourage them. Father, draw them to your word. And the things that Paul now goes on to say really shows us the wisdom that Paul has that we can learn from as we look into the word. Paul knows, doesn't he, how important it is to pray for one another, to thank God for each other and give thanks to God for all that he has done and all that he's doing, to do that continually. And Paul, if you remember, in his letter to the Thessalonians, he encourages the reader to pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. And you think, well, that's a really hard thing to do. And indeed it is, to pray without ceasing. But what it is having our mind on the things of God continually. Having our mind set on things above. So we're saying, Lord, as I go into this meeting, Lord, as I sit down at my desk opposite this person that I've done for the last 10 years, Lord, as I drive to work, that you'd keep me safe. Lord, that I'd have the words to say in the difficult moment. Father, that I'd be able to share the gospel by the way that I live, by the way that I act. Father, that you'd give me the words to say if the opportunity arises. It's just a continual conversation with the Lord. Our heart and our minds are set on things above. They're set on things of God. To share the good news. To live for him. To have our mind in the word at all times. And we'll do well, church, to listen to what Paul's saying here. We'll do well to apply it to our lives so that we are doing what the Lord has called us to do. And Paul goes on then in verse 17. That prayers aren't just, and I'm careful what I say here, just sort of generic. Sort of, you know, I pray that they're all right and they have a good day. We can all pray that, and that's great. But they're more specific than that. And we've talked about this as a church before. To make sure that when we pray specifics. And that's important. Not necessarily for God, because he knows the specifics, but it's good for us because it shows that we're listening. It shows that we're attentive. It shows that we're alert, and it shows that we do care. We're not just praying generic prayers, but we're praying specifically for what the Lord wants us to pray for, that we're praying specific prayers for those people around about us. And he prays that God gives them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And why is the question? And it goes on to say, so that they will know God better. Isn't that incredible? That they will know God better. Surely that's the desire of our hearts, that we would know God better. That should be the desire of each of our hearts. Lord, I want to know you better. And I should be praying, Lord, I want Aubrey to know you better. I want Alistair to know you better. I want Joel to know you better, Lord. This is good for us to be praying. These are things that the Lord would call us to pray for. Lord, I want you to open up our hearts and our minds. Lord, that Corrie will know you better. How wonderful is that for each of us? And then that desire of our hearts then is to go and to look and to dig deeper. They're doing well, yes. But Paul knows that he wants them to continue to grow, to continue to learn, to continue to search deeper, and to be spiritually mature. That's the desire of Hope Church, that all of us that say we are the Lord's people, that we would be spiritually mature. And if we as a leadership are not pushing you in that way to become more spiritually mature, then we're not doing our job. We need to become more spiritually mature, to crave the meat to the bones, not just the milk, but the good stuff to get your teeth into, so that we can learn and develop and stretch our knowledge so that we know what the Lord is saying to us. And it's valuable for us. It's of real value to us to know the Lord deeper. It's of real value to us to be spiritually mature, because when the storm comes, and come it will, that we're ready. And of course, we have to remember there's not just the spiritual warfare out in the world around about us, but there's the warfare that's going on in here. The old self that wants to go that way, and God's over here. He doesn't move, but I tend to go the other way regularly. And that's what we have to look into the Word for. That's what we need to be praying for each other for. Lord, that they'd be spiritually mature, that they would be able to see what's right and what's wrong, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate their hearts. Lord, that you'd help each of us to make sure that we're doing what you've called us to do, so that we're ready when the battle comes. We are ready. We have to be ready to keep learning, to keep growing, keep chipping away at the old self, if you like, allowing God to shape us and to mould us into what he wants us to be. And listen to the specifics in verse 18 as Paul says now. After we've had the spirit of revelation, that you may know him better, he goes on to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, in verse 19. The eyes of our heart may be enlightened, that they may know the hope to which God has called them. His opening statements, if you like, a statement, as we saw last week, was to be awake. And now he's saying, look, stay awake. You've got to know the hope to which God has called you. And verse 19, that we may know his incomparably great power for us then who believe. And remember, as I said at the beginning, this is all one sentence. That we then, as the church, as Paul is telling the church at Ephesus here, that we have access to this power. As believers, through the Holy Spirit, as Paul showed us last week, we have as a deposit, a guarantee of our inheritance, that one day we'll see our Saviour face to face. And we're studying this in Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're studying the Holy Spirit so that we might know exactly what we have access to. Because often we're not sure, and often we're confused because there's been a lot of poor teaching perhaps over the years, and we can sometimes get derailed by what we're supposed to be doing, what the Lord is calling us to do, how the Holy Spirit works. Listen, he says here that we have access to this power as believers through the Holy Spirit. And again, he just refreshes us to what power this is. As he carries on in verse 19, he says that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That power that we have access to in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the same power that God exerted to raise Christ from the dead. And Paul here is showing his readers, you and I today, of course, as well, that if we are awake, if we keep alert and we stay awake, then we'll see the need around about us. We will see the people that are on their way to a Christless eternity, and our heart will say, I need to help. I need to love. I need to serve. I need to share the gospel. We have that desire as we fill our lives with the Lord, that as we are awake to everything that he's got to show us through the word, that we'll live out what the word says, that we'll share the good news, and that we will share the gospel by the way that we live and in the conversations that we have at every single opportunity that we get. Listen, this good news that we have in our jacket is the good news that can raise a dead man to life. This is the good news that we have. The good news that can raise a dead man to life. And I've asked the question before, and we've mentioned it in our Bible studies over the last few months. What can a dead person do about their salvation? Nothing. And we have the very power that raised Christ from the dead within us. That if I am alert and if I am awake to what the word says and I'm living how the word has called me to live, that I will share the news, the good news of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, with that person who is on their way to a Christless eternity. What can a dead man do about his salvation? He's hoping that you're going to share the gospel with him. She's hoping that you're going to share the gospel with her. We have life, life in abundance, and we have the opportunity to share it. Good news that can bring the dead person back to life, as the power of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see in the coming weeks in our Bible study, will draw the sinner's life as the revelation of Scripture is opened up to them and illuminated for them through the Holy Spirit. Listen, our challenge is, and all we have to do, is share. That's all we have to do. God will do the rest. But are we awake? Are we alert to what we have within us? Are we aware that we have the opportunity to share this good news of the gospel with those people around about us that are on their way to an eternity without hope or love, an eternity without Christ? Church, what an opportunity we have. Firstly, what a blessing we have. What blessings we have received. But what an opportunity we have in order to share the good news. Listen, let's be a church, firstly, that prays for each other. Let's continue in our prayer for each other. Let's continue in our prayers to the Lord, praying specifically for each person as they share their life with you, that you say, Lord, I want you to help in this area that they've had a conversation with me about today. Lord, that you would help. Father, that you would bring about restoration. Father, that you would bring their sustenance that they need. Father, their help, their strength that they need. Listen, this is good for us as the church. It shows spiritual maturity. Let's be ready to share the gospel. Let's be ready at every turn. And let's continue to grow, to witness and to live out this wonderful gospel that we have received as his church every single day. Let's be ready to serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for your word this morning, Father, for its encouragement, its revelation. And we pray, Lord God, that you would indeed illuminate hearts as we've read and shared together, as we've looked at what Paul is saying to the early church at Ephesus. And we pray, Lord God, that that would settle on our hearts. We would be awake. Father, we would stay awake. We would be alert. Father, that we would pray without ceasing, that we would have our mind set on things of you. Father, that we would be ready at every turn to serve you wholeheartedly. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless us as we continue in our worship together. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.